So today we have a very, very special guest on the podcast, Dr. Dane Heer. He's a world-renowned author, speaker, facilitator of advanced workshops and consciousness. He's the author of 9 books on the topics of money, healing, relationships, embodiment, and consciousness. His most recent book, Being You, Changing the World, is an international bestseller. Dane is the co-creator of the global movement called Access Consciousness. With over 250 employees worldwide, he has been traveling the world for over 20 years, sharing his wisdom, assisting people in living their most extraordinary life. Dane also has some amazing projects going on, including a eco-village in Costa Rica, which I was personally really excited to ask him about. And more than all of this, he's a man that radiates kindness and has in a very humorous way. So welcome to the conversation, Dane.
Thank you. It is an honor and a pleasure, my friends.
Beautiful. What we'll get straight into, Ryan, and I were just listening to a bunch of podcasts on the way here, listening into, you know, your philosophy and things that you spoke about, and there's so much of it that just resonated with us so deeply. It was not only about knowing what we are beyond like the physical, but how to enjoy it and how to have fun with it along the way. And I feel so many people in the space, like including ourselves at time, get very serious, allow it to get quite a lot. And I'd love to just open the conversation to you on how you bring that joy, that playfulness into what you do and don't take yourself so seriously.
Oh, I hate myself when I take myself seriously. So it's kind of as simple as that. It's like one of the things I know is what's true will always make you lighter. Mm-hmm. A lie will always make you heavier. So the more choices you make for things that make you lighter, the lighter your life gets over time. And in a sense, it's that simple, which is following what's true for you. And a lot of people want to talk about truth, but there are a lot of people who have their own truth about things, which is basically their own fixed point of view, their own judgment. And for me, I realize every time I try to come up with a truth or a fixed point of view, I don't get lighter. I get heavier. I have less fun. You know, we all have so many situations and so many people in our lives. And you could think about a situation where you had an upset with somebody. And, you know, and so you're over here and they're over here. That's not fun for any of us, you know. And the thing is, we've got to recognize we have different choices available. And this is what we really got to get is we have choice. What are you going to choose? Now, I wish it were as easy as I think I'm making it sound, you know. that's where the work comes in. But actually, that's where the play should come in. Is, okay, I've been choosing whatever it is. I've been choosing this living situation. It sucks. I don't like it. I'm not happy here. I don't feel nurtured. Well, then what other choices do I have available? The next step when you realize something isn't working is to ask a question like, what else is possible? Or how does it get any better than this? Or what choices are available that I've never considered? An open-ended question allows the universe to actually contribute to you. And one of the other things that most of us tend to avoid and not allow is allowing the universe consciousness to be the contribution that it can be. Because if we're willing to, we can be contributed to so dynamically. And the way the world really works is ask and you shall receive. It's just most of us are not asking for what we'd really like because we have all kinds of points of view about what it's appropriate to have, what it's right to have. And the other element is what other people desire us to have and think is okay. And what's, you know, and what makes us look like a good person and not a bad person. Mm. And we're so, so much in judgment of us for and trying to do the right thing and never the wrong thing. Trying to be good people and never bad people. But we wouldn't, pardon me, I have a feather on my crotch. That was it was a minor distraction. The ADHD was getting to me. But the idea is, you know, that if we didn't have the judgment that we were somehow bad and wrong, we wouldn't then try to prove that we're good and right. What if we're just us? You know, a lot of people are like, this is bad energy and this is good energy. In fact, one of the interesting things, you know, in my spiritual journey before Access, and on a side note, Access Consciousness is about accessing our consciousness. And consciousness is, we have a definition of it, which is where everything exists and nothing is judged. Mm-hmm. meaning there's no good energy and bad energy. There's just energy. And it's the point of view we attach to it that creates the idea that it's good or bad. And one of the interesting things is people who've been on a spiritual journey for a long time, you can tell the ones who've been on the journey for a long time because they know everything that's good and everything that's bad, which unfortunately all those years have just been teaching themselves to judge better, judge more intensely. And what do? You separate from those things that you judge as bad. But if you've ever had a person that you judged as bad and then actually got to know them and you're like, oh, man, they're beautiful. They just have a difficulty with intimacy. We're missing a lot by our judgments of bad and good.
And how would we overcome, say we are like stuck in that judgmental ways, like I often catch myself judging people and things, and I do understand that it is programs and things that I've learned, like you're speaking into, but how would we overcome that judgment that we potentially project onto others, but also feel from external sources as well?
Boy, have I got a conversation for you about that one. Okay, number one, if you no longer want to judge, stop judging. Okay, now that sounds so simple, right? But we're the ones, again, who have that choice. Now, one of the things we have in Access Consciousness is about 8,000 tools for when you notice a repetitive pattern, changing it at its root, and so it never comes back again. And it's way simpler than most people would imagine. But it's also based on the choice. Oh, I'm doing this. I'd like to do something different. Everything that doesn't allow that, I'm willing to let that go. I'm willing to destroy and uncreate it now. So it no longer has to be part of my menu of choice. But so one of the, so when you mentioned the, I find myself judging other people, one of the biggest things that can create an awareness for us, but also create a sense of freedom, is the awareness that 98% of the shit that goes through our head isn't our shit. We're big psychic radio receivers. We're all connected. We know this. Most people get it mentally or cognitively, but in actuality, it goes way deeper and wider than that. It's energetic. Our connection that we have with each other is energetic, which, what does that mean? Well, have you ever had a friend and they were sad and you were around them and you started feeling sad? Well, yeah, we all have, right? Or somebody who was angry and you started, why am I angry? It's like, it's not yours. And so we have a real simple tool to address those things, because I ask people in class all the time, because they'll say, I find myself judging people so much. And I'll ask them to pick a specific person in a specific situation. And I go, okay, so there's this person. I'll say, hey, give me the situation. And there was a lady in class one time. She's like, okay, so I've got a friend and I keep judging her body. And I was like, and because what I do and what we can all do if we'll just train ourselves to is to recognize, once again, when something is true, it's lighter and a lie is heavier. So when she said, I'm judging her body all the time, I was like, that doesn't read energetic. That's not lighter. In other words, it kind of goes, which of course is the same energy she's dealing with. Every time she is around this lady in her body, it goes, so she feels heavy and feels bad and feels wrong. And then it just gets heavier and heavier. And I said, so let me ask you a question. Is that your judgment of her body or her judgments of her body? And her eyes got really big and she went, oh shit, I'm aware of her judgments of her body. I'm like, exactly. I said, okay, now let's take another person that you don't judge your body, you judge something else. Oh, I judge that she's always late. And I went, okay, is that your judgment or is it her judgment of her for always being late? She went, oh my God. And so what I did is I had her think of several more people while everybody in class was doing the same thing. And it was like, there was a show, my brain. I think it was Kingsman, where these people's heads explode as this thing goes on. And yeah. It was like that. It was like you could see these people go, oh, my God. Because Lot literally bombs. 98% of our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, our judgments, our yuck, stuck, and
absolutely.
What the fuck are not actually ours.
Yeah.
We're picking them up from everybody all the time. So a real simple tool is, who does this belong to? If it lightens up at all, it's not yours. And the interesting part, and this is the other part that is really helpful if we get this, is you can't do something. You can't change something that's not yours. You can't, there's nothing, literally nothing you can do other than trying to avoid it that will make it lighter for you other than acknowledging it is not yours. And if you want to go down the rabbit hole even further, somewhere around 50 to 100% of what goes on in our bodies is not ours either. It's our body telling us about the bodies of the people around us. So what do? Who does this belong to? If it lightens up at all, it's not yours. Return it to sender with consciousness attached. And the interesting thing is,
what do you mean by if it lightens up at all?
Oh, so let's say you're judging somebody's body, like we talked about. Or another one is people will get fearful, and that's a hot topic of the last couple of years, eh? Fearful and also hopeless. A lot of times those go together, right? Well, if you're in the middle of that and you've got it, and it's eating your body from the inside. We all know how that feels. And you go, wait, who does this belong to? Is it mine? And what happens is it gets less intense for you, and you get more of a sense of space. Mm-hmm. But you got to be present. You can't just be like, who does this belong to? You know, while in that state, you got to take a moment. Feel your feet on the floor. Put your hands on your tummy. Take a deep breath in. You know, feel your hands on your tummy, your tummy on your hands, your feet on the floor, and then go, is this mine? Who does this belong to? And it will lessen if it's not yours. And in that case, you go, okay, return to sender with consciousness attached.
Sender.
Yeah. Return to sender.
Send that one back.
Yeah.
And if it is yours?
And if it is yours, what will happen is it will actually get more substantial. And then what you want to do is go, okay, when did I buy this as mine? Because that's the other thing that we do. Think about how many people's lives are in at least certain areas, or maybe a lot of areas, are just like their parents. Mm-hmm. Why? Because when they were little kids have no filters. They don't know how to put up walls and barriers like we do so well. So they're just a sponge, man. They're picking it all up. And if you've ever seen a little kid that when they were really young was like really happy, and by the time they're like 8 or 9 or 10, they're just like their parents. And if you watch them walk, they walk just like their parents. And you're like, oh my God. And it's amazing. Well, why? Because we're so aware. We're so friggin' brilliant that way that we pick up on their constructs of reality. But they're energetic. We keep thinking that what has occurred to get us where we are was the things we were told, the things our parents told us. That's a tiny part of it. Mm. It's actually the energy that we were swimming in.
So through osmosis, right? Like, yep. You're in the energy fields, it's like soaking in.
Yep. That.
Big sponge.
Yep. And so if you find that you ask, hey, who does this belong to? It doesn't lighten up. It actually gets more substantial and becomes more like, okay, you want to go, okay, so when did I buy that as mine? And you can do this thing called pock and pot it. We have this thing called the clearing statement. And you can go to theclearingstatement.com. And it's free. Please use it. Please, please, please. What it is it's asking the energy, asking the consciousness of you to undo by going back to the point of creation of wherever you bought this is yours. And the point of creation, you think it was last week, but it's usually when you were a little kid, which is where you started the foundation for this becoming yours, and you can undo it. You just go, pock and pot all that shit. Pock and pot when I bought it is mine, and pock and pot everything I did to create it. And then usually I'll run the whole clearing statement, which sounds like gobbledygook, but if you go to theclearingstatement.com, you get enough of it it's there in its entirety, and you can start to use this as a way of changing things. Because like you guys, what I'm interested in is the change. You know, it's wonderful to have enlightening conversations, but if those don't result in a difference in your life or different action, then why the fuck are we talking? You know, why are we wasting our breath? Let's have conversations and let's give people the tools to create actual change. And fast. One of the things I love about Access is it's fast. And not that, you know, because a lot of us get really bored when change is slow. Because who wants to work on something forever and feel like you're getting nowhere? I want to work on it, change it, and then have a new space where I can create more. And then when the things come up around that don't allow that to expand, then I want to change those fast, you know, and create more.
Yeah.
All from a space of relaxation.
It's amazing. And this is a big, I guess, message in our journey, but also what we bring to people is you have the choice in every single moment to change and alter your entire reality, your entire projection of whatever you want to put into the world. The choice is always yours, but so many are afraid to make that choice, make that change, because change is it's scary, right, for many people that are living in a very mundane day-to-day process that is comfortable. It's comfort, and to make the change is scary, but it takes change. It takes that desire and that want to change. And for us, it's always the question of what will it take to make that change? What will it take to become in the ownership within your life and say, okay, that's enough. It's time to change. It's time to make that change. And it's sad because so many people have to get to that point of break or disease or hurt or severe suffering to have that change, to have that moment of desire to change, to want to change. And, you know, this is the scary thing. You know, what scares me the most is seeing the suffering that is in the world and seeing what it must take for people to go, okay, this is enough. I'm going to put a full stop in my life right now and just zoom out and go, how am I living? Am I happy? Who am I surrounded with? And is this what I want to do? Is this how I want to be in the world? So for us, our whole message and our whole point of what we do is actually creating a space for people to put the comma in and go, okay, where are we at? How am I actually feeling? You know, and that's what stillness really represents, and what we've created across Australia and New Zealand is creating and giving people the tools to actually just slow themselves down for a moment in time and go, here we are. How are we looking? How are we feeling?
Ask
the question, you know, create that question mark.
Yeah. And that's why when, you know, there was a chance to meet you guys in person, and I was like, yes, you know, absolutely. Because, yeah. And people require, I think one of the things people require is other people speaking about letting them know it's possible. And from a real place, like, hey, this is your life. We're living lives too. We found that there are other possibilities. Does any of that interest you? You know, would you like to actually wake up happy? You know, would you like to be grateful for the people in your life and be able to receive it? Would you like to, you know, and I mean, who would say no to that? Only the most jaded person. And if you got underneath the surface of why they're jaded, then of course they also would. You know, and I think it's an amazing gift when we can be that which contributes to others. And, I mean, for me at least, and I know for you guys also, there's nothing that's more fulfilling. But I see that each of us has this ability to contribute. And the thing is, we've got so much going on in so many ways. And like you said, take a moment and breathe. And then, okay, and there's an interesting awareness that we've been talking about in Access Consciousness lately, more than before even, which is a couple of things. One is there's a lot more change that occurs more quickly from relaxation rather than from the frantic beating your head against the wall to try to get somewhere. It's like when you relax, then you can not only smell the flowers, but you can have a sense of the subtleties of energy that are guiding you or that are there that can be signposts for you. Because, once again, we're energetic beings. And nobody ever tells us this. It's amazing to me. And then you get into something like metaphysics, and I'm not knocking metaphysics because I'm very grateful for it. It gave me a lot of awarenesses of a lot of things. But where so many people do it is, once again, exclude this to have a better life. These are the good energies. These are the good things. These are the good spirits. These are the good scents. These are the good colors. No. If you embrace all of it, from my point of view, the extent of happiness in your life is directly related to the lack of judgment in your life of us and others, you know? And as you're saying the thing about how scary it seems for most people, I see exactly what you're saying, you know, being in this line of work for over two decades now, of course. And at the same time, there's one of the things that I do a lot in working with people and that we do in Access and working with people. And we have over 10,000 facilitators around the world. So, you know, when I talk about what I do, it's not me, it's we, you know, and it really is we. And each of us has our unique perspective that we bring to this gift of contributing to others. And one of the awarenesses that one of the things that sticks us the most is when we're misidentifying and misapplying something as something else. So meaning what we're doing is it's actually this, but we're calling it this. And so we're stuck by this, but it's not even that. So we can't get out of it because it's a lie that it is that. And one of the things is fear. We have a three-step thing for getting rid of fear once and for all. Now, for me, this is one of the biggest things that changed my life 22 years ago when I found this work, because I lived my life thinking fear was real. I mean, it ran my life, and I would do it anyway, but sometimes I was terrified. Like, I was a chiropractor. I was starting my second practice, and I was in Santa Barbara, a new city for me, and I didn't know what to do, so I grabbed the phone book and started calling other practitioners. I figured at least I could make some connection and maybe we could co-refer. So I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea. But I'm like, I got to do something, you know? And so I would pick up the phone, and before I would dial the numbers, I'd literally start shaking in fear. Wow. And then I'd start crying. And then, I mean, literally, I'm like this, and I'm like, fuck. And I had some tools. They weren't very effective at the time. And sometimes it would take me an hour to get over it, but I was making that damn phone call. You know, I was not leaving with that being another thing that was weighing me down. Because at that point, I was at a place where I literally was going to end my life if things didn't change. I planned a date 6 months in the future because I was tired of being unhappy. I was tired of feeling like I couldn't create the life I wanted. I was tired of all the self-judgment that was in my head all the friggin' time. I didn't have who does this belong to, which... You know, that in itself would have been very helpful. Also, what's true makes you lighter and a lie makes you heavier would have been very helpful, but I didn't have those tools either. I had right and wrong and good and bad to a very highly developed degree from my metaphysical training, you know, and none of the archangels were helping, fuckers. I was asking.
So what's this three-step process? Like, is it something you can speak into?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I can do at least two pieces rather successfully without any background. Yeah. And then the third one I'll say, and you'll be like, what the fuck? And we'll go there anyway. Okay, so number one is fear is something that you've misidentified or misapplied. In other words, for most people, and this is so funny because in 23 years of facilitating from this place with this awareness, every single time I have ever had somebody say, I was afraid when, I'm so afraid about. And the question I ask them is, truth, first thing I ask them actually is, truth, is it yours? Or are you aware of other people's fear around this situation? And did you buy that was the way to respond to this when you were younger? And they go, oh, and usually that clears it. Okay, so that's the first one. So is it yours? Truth, who does that belong to? Or did you buy it as yours? Gary, the founder of Access, you guys met him. And before you got here, he was in his underwear, which is pretty much how he spends most of the day.
It's like us.
Yeah, right? I know. I'm like, Gary, I think you can leave the underwear. He's like, no, I'll put clothes on. I'm like, okay, fine. But he, when he was a little kid, he was like 6 years old, he was going to go on the Ferris wheel. And he was so excited. He was pulling on his mom's skirt, jumping up and down, and she looks down and goes, now don't be afraid, dear. And he went, oh my God, that's fear.
I need to be afraid.
Yeah. But it was excitement. And most people have misidentified and misapplied excitement as fear. Now, it takes a bit of vulnerability with self to get there because fear is one of those things that when you have it, you feel like you're part of the crowd. Yes, I am indeed. Oh, I have this. Oh, I know. And you have it. Oh, and you. Oh, because if you go to any normal person, you're like, oh my God, I'm so afraid. They're like, let me help you. Let me, you know, and it's one of the things that we can put forth that people will contribute to us, which is really nice. But what if there are many other ways of getting contributed to where we don't have to go into this ball of crap? It's not even real. Because one of the ideas is, you know, one of the things we talk about in Access is you're an infinite being. Would an infinite being truly have fear? The answer is, of course not. And by the way, infinite, people are like, what's infinite? Because nobody really gets it. Because why? Because it's infinite. Because it's too big to get. Your mind cannot grasp it. But infinite is like the size of the universe that we are as beings, which is, okay, that just right there, people's brains kind of explode with that. But if you just even get a tiny bit of the idea that you could be an infinite being, would an infinite being have fear? The answer, of course, is no. But an infinite being would be really friggin' excited about a lot of things. And so I was working with a lady who was quitting her job. And she's like, oh, my God, I'm so afraid. And this was not a woman who has fear, okay? I mean, everybody knew it, not just me, okay? And I said, are you afraid or excited? She's like, I'm afraid. I'm like, okay, now you can stop the bullshit with me. Are you afraid or excited? Really? Like, truth, are you afraid or excited? She went, oh, my God, I'm so excited. Mm. It's so good. I'm ready for the adventure. I was so bored in the other thing, and I'm just so looking forward to something different. And I'm not 100% sure how it's going to turn out, but I'm so excited to actually be alive again and have choice. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. But just that one concept.
Tiny little flicker. We speak all the time to our practitioners and at events and things like that. It's like nervousness and fear. It's the same thing. We say at the beginning of all of our events, all we need to do is just flick that switch, flick it to excitement. And it's more of, instead of that closing feeling, it's more of an opening feeling in the body.
That you said light, heavy, that's the lightness. And the heavy is the, you know, where you want to contract, you want to separate, go into judgment, whatever. But that just, and this is the thing is, in for so many of these things that stick people, it's just a misidentification, misapplication. It's just a twist. It's not, you're trying to call it this, but it's actually not.
Experience, eh? Like we talk about experiencing, taking labels off everything and anything. Say you get nervous before like doing something or whatever it is, taking away the label of it and allowing yourself to experience it like it's the first time you're ever doing it, and then making your own judgment rather than, like you're talking about before, the projections of parents or things that they've told you of their fears and beliefs. It's really interesting, the parallels with the message, but just spoken and articulated in a different way.
The curiosity to be in the body and to experience whatever we're experiencing is a big message of ours, yeah. And Ru just put it so perfectly. But I'm sure you've got an understanding of this as well. But what you're talking into, the fear, a lot of people are addicted to that fear, right? And we continue to circulate that fear in our lives due to our childhood, due to potentially the fear that was in the house, in the home, from our parents, you know, from dynamics, relationships, whatever that may be, fear of money, fear of safety. And we're reiterating our existence by chasing that fear, chasing that stimulant. But if we can get these people to switch it to that excitement for change, for creation, for life, then I feel that would be a massive result. But what is your understanding of that? Is it very similar to what we believe, is that a lot of people are reiterating their childhood trauma in their adulthood by chasing the fear and creating it in their life for no reason at all, other than because that's what feels like home for them?
Exactly that. It feels like home, therefore it feels comfortable.
Yeah.
And that's the interesting part. Like, if you could use an example of somebody who is in an abusive relationship and they get out and then they choose another one, you're like, wait, that makes no logical sense. Well, it's not logic. It's energetic comfort. Mm. And one of the things we've been speaking about recently is, oh, we didn't actually cover the other three things.
Yeah.
We did two out of three.
We did two. I was just thinking, do
excitement,
we
get to, who does this belong to? The other one is, it's something called a distractor implant. That is also with anger. We in our exploration, we a lot of times do our best to find particular energies of what's possible that people can't get to, or what's limiting people that they don't know how to change. And if sometimes we'll be able to put words to it, and then we can give the change to everybody because everybody can say the words, you know, and get the concept from there. But we found there are these things called, we call them distractor implants, because they act like a virtual reality, basically, if probably the best way to describe it. And it's something that fear, anger, so I'll give you the whole list. Anger, rage, fury, and hate. Blame, shame, regret, and guilt. If you just look at those, and then let's add fear and doubt, and keep it simple, because there's 24 of them. But if you just look at those things, all of the things I just mentioned are almost impossible for people to solve and change. They go to look at it and they kind of go over here and they can't be present with it because it's an implanted point of view. Anger, rage, fury, and hate, blame, shame, regret, and guilt, fear, and doubt are, to a certain extent, a quote-unquote implanted point of view. Now, I don't even know to, I don't know that it's even beneficial to go into the explanation, you know, the idea of an implanted point of view, but anything you're around enough, just like you're talking about, anything you're around enough where somebody else has it as a presumptive reality of theirs, where they presume that this is real, you start to vibrate as though it's real. And so we call it an implant because it's like something that's in somebody's world somewhere, and you're around it enough that it seeps into your world and becomes part of your vibration. And so a way of clearing fear, doubt, anger, all the anger stuff, anger, rage, fury, and hate, and then also really helpful, blame, shame, regret, and guilt, is to go, okay, all the distractor implants or all the weird shit Dane said when he was talking to the guys, pock and pod. And that's your choice. That's your willingness. And the pock and pod, once again, is going back to the point of creation that you don't know cognitively. See, here's the other thing, is 99.99999% of what limits us is not cognitive. We don't even know where it came from. We just have these knee-jerk reactions. We have these energies that we function from. We don't know how or why, because we didn't cognitively say, yes, I will become afraid just like you, mommy. You know, we didn't do that. We just learned that if we vibrated like her, then she felt validated and she would give us what we needed, like love, food, whatever. And so in this, you truly can get rid of these things way faster than you think if you just go, okay, so all the weird shit Dane said, pock and pot all that. And once again, theclearingstatement.com is where you want to go to use that. And please, if anybody out there uses a clearing statement, please use it. Just if you're using it with groups or with people or whatever, just acknowledge you got it from Access Consciousness. That's all we ask, you know, because that's a way of paying it forward and an acknowledgement of it. But use it. We have so much out there that is
another tool of the tool belt, right?
Yeah, like exactly.
That's what we talk about. It's like creating a tool belt for life. You know, we got like little different types of things that we do, different people that we bring on that have little things like this, these little nuggets. Make sure to check it out and use it. Use these things. Try it. See if it works for you. If it doesn't, sweet. Exactly. But if it does, amazing. You know, you could change your life with these little simple tools.
And if it doesn't, you haven't lost much except a few seconds of your time, you know?
100%. And have the, you know, a big thing that we talk about is, you know, having the self-humility to try things new that, you know, maybe feel good for you. And if they don't, have the humility to go, I tried it, I gave it a go. Yeah. So be it. A big thing that I want to talk into here, just real quickly, was, you know, the belief of changing and the belief of letting it go is what creates your new frequency and vibration, because those emotions, those feelings, those fears are limiting your consciousness down to a vibrational level, which is going to create and manifest your reality externally. What we do and what we use is the breath to basically switch off the brain, switch off the mind, switch off the self-judgment to enable the body to express how it wants to actually express. So like, yes, there's so many different physiological things happening in the body when we're doing breath work. But what I believe at the core of it is we're really giving people permission just to simply express and be themselves in that moment with no thought processes, no judgment coming in, and no fear of any external viewpoints or judgment coming in. And that is exactly what I feel your processes do, is it enables you to believe that you can change like that if you want, if you give yourself the choice and ability to do that and believe in yourself that you can. Because you can, at the end of the day. It's a matter of just seeking and giving yourself permission to change and giving yourself permission to try these things. Just as like the breath, we're just giving out permission slips for people to be themselves, and whatever that is in that moment is just be it.
I want to speak into something here, and it's something I heard you talk about on one of those podcasts we were listening to. Meditation. You talk about meditating fast or moving fast in presence, and that really resonated with us, because it's like, you don't have to be like people. I feel, and I know I was like this when I was beginning my journey of like self-reflection, understanding myself a bit deeper. I was going, fuck, well, I don't want to end up in a cave in the Himalayas,
Is that where
do we have to do that?
Leads?
Do we have to do that?
And so hearing what you spoke into around this, and I'd love to hear you explain it here for everyone listening, like what you mean by that, you know, meditating, but being present while you can still move fast and enjoy this life and the craziness of it.
Yeah, well, there for me, it's about moving at the speed of space. You know, if you go in a spaceship and you're moving at the speed of light, is really fast, but it's the speed of space. And so, and this is the other thing is there's so many concepts in, if we call it, in self-help, personal development, whatever, that are done as antidotes to the typical reality most people are living. So people go from, oh, I'm frantic and I'm in my mind all the time, I'm going to meditate and slow down. And here's the funny part. When I used to meditate, I would get more thoughts in my head. And I was like, I just suck, man. I can't even meditate right, right? Which I think a lot of people who've meditated probably have that point of view. And then I realized, oh, who do those belong to? Because when you quiet your own mind, you're picking up even more on other people's. So that can be a very helpful tool for meditation also. But it's like, and somebody my sense is, most of the people who truly grok meditation really get that it's about a space and a presence that you be with everything. And it's not about slowing down. Sometimes it is, though. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we want to be able to go slow. Want to be able to go medium, want to be able to go really fucking fast, you know, but at the same time have all of it with a sense of relaxation. So like I was out riding my jet ski this morning and I'm like, from total relaxation, but total enthusiasm. And it was great because I was out there and there were no waves. Damn it. Because my favorite part is jumping waves. And you can do that here in Noosa in a way that is you can't in very many places, which is awesome. And there were no waves. I'm like, oh, this is still awesome. I'm so, and then I saw dolphins. And there were about 25 of them. And they were not only swimming around, they came in and they're like, hi. And I was like, oh my God, this is so wonderful. This is hi. I mean, I was like a little kid. I was just like, this is so great.
Let's play.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Let's play. And that also is part of the other element of what goes with this, because play has movement. Energetic movement, you know, not like you're always moving while you play, but it's got a headspace of not significance. And this is another thing that if we can give up the significance, no form, no structure, no significance. Instead, if we can have that and the movement of play and the relaxation, it's like, and allow ourselves to function at the speed of space, which is how we actually function. So it's an interesting thing because, when I started with Access, we were in 3 countries around the world. We had something like 21 facilitators. We're now in 176 countries. We have over 10,000 facilitators. Wow. But it's been from the speed of space. And so what happens in that is if you're going to – I love it. The dog is out there. He's like, I want in. Like, I want in on the conversation. So you talked about dolphins. What about me? I'm a conscious animal.
He had fun. He's like, I want to have fun.
He's like, throw the ball. Yeah. But we've done it from relaxation. Mm. And what happens is in the relaxation, you can change things faster than people think is possible. And they're different now. It's like opening the door and having a different reality. But that's what's actually possible. When we get our mind involved, it linearizes everything. That's its job. Mm-hmm. Your mind's job is to for you to survive, basically. Mm. Your mind is not about you thriving. Mm-hmm. Your mind is for you to survive. And it does a fuck of a job. Can we just acknowledge, give it, you know, good job, mind. Yeah. Hey. And now what do I, the being, have available? And we don't have to slow down. We have to allow ourselves to have comfort and joy in movement and allow ourselves to look for those places and spaces and ways that we can function that allow that to become our functional reality.
Wow. There's a lot in that. Hey, and I'm sure those that are listening are just having those light bulb moments within themselves going, Yeah, this can be fun. This doesn't have to be stressful. I don't have to get overwhelmed with these things that are happening in my life. I can just enjoy them, you know, and slow down in the speed as such, you know. And what we talk about a lot is being in that meditative state. Yes, it is really just simply being present in whatever state, wherever you are, and whatever environment you're in. Because when we're present, none of the anxiety exists, none of the depression exists, none of the fear exists. You're simply there. And this is what I feel the term comes from. Time disappears when we're having fun. Mm-hmm. You know, because when we're having fun, we're present, we're there, we're simply just right there. And that, I believe, those that are listening, creating and bringing in Dane's practice here of meditating fast, be present in every moment of your life and just witness what happens and witness what shifts inside of you mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
That. And I got to add a thing to the quick meditation, which is we have this thing called bars. And it's access consciousness bars. And it's a light touch technique that's done on the head. There's 32 points on the head. Yeah, like this one is joy and sadness. This one is healing. Money is up here somewhere. Can't get to with the things.
So those listening, Dane's just touching different points
just
in his head.
Touching points in his head because why not? Hello. But the reason I bring that up is because when I was at that place where I was going to end my life, I had never heard of access. I didn't know any of this stuff, and I was just done struggling and hating my life. I had an hour and 15-minute session of this thing called bars, where I just laid on the table, and this lady put her hands on my head really lightly at different points. I went into that session depressed and suicidal with a plan to end my life and a date and a way of doing it. And I came out of it with gratitude for being alive and a sense of joy and a sense of peace and space, the speed of space I'm talking about. I was like, holy shit, if it's this, if it can feel like this to be alive, I am so in. I am in, baby. Let's do this, right? Literally an hour and 15-minute session changed it. And the reason I bring that up is because if you have the choice to get to this space of you, the space of being you, let's call it, that we're speaking of here. And by the way, that's a moving target that changes every day. Don't try to just stay somewhere because that's not the way the universe works. You got to be moving. Relaxedly, though, like allow change. But if you make that choice, there are so many resources that will contribute. Consider getting your bars run. And the reason I say this is because what that created in my world was what I hoped to get from meditating. And I'm saying, believe me, I'm not knocking meditation. This is not an asshole conversation. This is an invitational conversation, okay? Because what it does is it dissipates the electromagnetic component of thoughts, feelings, and emotions. What is that? That's the polarity. That's the positive and negative. That's the basis of the right and wrong, which everybody listening to this podcast is far more familiar with the wrong, especially of themselves. What it does is it creates a sense of space like nothing I have ever experienced. And so I want to bring that up because for me, this idea of having your life be a walking, talking meditation between the bars and who does this belong to for 3 days? If you do it for 3 days, at the end of 3 days, you walk around like you're in a walking, talking meditation because there are no thoughts in your head. You break the machine that makes you think it's yours.
Wow. It's like a little bit of a blueprint. This is fascinating. Like I came across this guy, John Whitman Ray, the other day. He talks about body electronics and all the different points you push it to bring certain things out of the body, and it's fascinating how intricate it is and how little knowledge we have of the human body. Like it blows my mind when I start learning about this stuff, and then not just learning about it but trying it and experience it and feeling the shifts that it's creating. How much of these techniques and things do you think is down to the individual being open to wanting the change compared with the actual technique going on?
Yes. There's, here's the interesting thing is I've seen many people come and use these tools who never thought their life would change, who were like, my life is fine the way it is. I'm only here with my wife. And that person is just the one who gets the most change.
Yep.
You know, because what is. It's why a lot of things you speak about sound like a lot of things I'm speaking about. They're different, we're different, and some of them are different. Some of them will add, you know, dynamically to each other, having both. But it's like, what is. So, and the idea of somebody's willingness, I'm, the tools work. And whether, and your actual willingness has nothing to do with what you think your willingness is. I cannot tell you the number of times where I've had somebody in a class who's like, oh, I don't want to be, you know, like walls, barriers, defenses. I'm like, hi.
Yeah.
And like, stop being so nice. I'm like, well, I'm happy. And I'm happy you're here, even though you're not, you know.
Mm. But deep down, there's a part of them that actually is yearning for that.
And when we get the, and oftentimes the person will, get up and go, you know, they'll get up and do one of two things. Usually when a person is sort of in that space, one is they'll get up and go, they'll finally realize it's okay. And they'll go, will you help me please? I've been doing the same damn thing my whole life. Will you help me change it? I'm like, oh fuck yeah, let's go.
Ready.
You know, cause to see that person, to see the, as you guys know, man, when the walls and barriers come down.
Ask and you shall receive.
Totally. That's how it works. And you see the light behind their eyes and you can feel their body come alive and get enthusiastic again about being alive. It is the coolest thing in the world. And the second presentation that somebody will present with that, of course there are many more, but the second one being they'll get up and you know, in an angry huff, how could you say blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, it's so cool. Thanks for showing me what you think is there for you. And my question is always, what's really there for you as a being? Like, what's like, not from, oh, you're wrong for having this resistance. Dude, given the life you've lived, how could you not? You know, I look and I
compassion.
Yeah. And true, like caring for people. And also it's like, how many times have I been an asshole when I was triggered by something that would set me free that I wasn't willing to have because of my story, you know? And with one of the things I talk about with people, which speaks to what you both have said also, is it's kind of like you grow up your whole life swimming in carrot soup, you know, and you don't realize it. And if somebody pulls you out after 30 years, you know, you look like a carrot. You smell like a carrot, you taste like a carrot, you're still not a fucking carrot. But these are the energies in which we've been swimming our whole lives, you know, and we even think we're a carrot. We're like, oh, look at all the other carrots. We're all carrots in here, you know. It's like, uh-uh. You're not your mom, you're not your dad, you're not the story. And to the extent that we can let ourselves unburden ourselves from our story, God, we truly have infinite possibilities available.
We realize we're a potato, not a carrot.
Exactly.
You know? It is. And this is, I don't know if you've been on our main page, but our line is unlearn, relearn, develop, evolve. You know, but it starts with the unlearning everything that we thought we were and the beliefs that we had due to circumstantial scenarios, environments, people, influences. Unlearn all that shit and then relearn from a place of experience, curiosity, and see what feels right for you in your body as you experience these things, and then make a definition of whatever that was. I love that, yeah. And a big message I believe that we're really bringing forward is the non-attachment to where you are in your journey, and know that wherever you are is so perfect for you, not pushing and forcing that journey of evolution. Just simply be in that moment, because wherever you are right now is it.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. Wherever you are, there you are, you know? And it's interesting how so many of these things boil down to real simple concepts, you know? It's like, and we've learned to make everything so complicated and so complex. But for most people, making it that complex is a way of keeping it out until they can figure it out and figure out what part of it is okay to let in. But what if instead we have the choice to walk around without walls and barriers, which, see, we undefine a lot of things in access and sort of go with the energetics of what it means. And one of the things we talk about a lot is vulnerability. And true vulnerability is where you have no walls and no barriers, but because you're not keeping anything out, you not only don't get hurt, you are supported and thrive. Mm. And it's
access to more,
yeah,
more of life.
Yeah.
So interesting you went there. I literally highlighted the next thing that I wanted to ask you. It was like, how to take down our walls that are holding us back in different areas of life? Because I've heard you speak into that before. And it's you talked into being able to receive more, and how as a lot of human or a lot of people really struggle to receive, and that really hinders what we can create and who we are as a person. Are you able to like just speak into that a little bit more of like bringing down those walls, allowing yourself to receive? How do we receive more? How do we allow that energy to come into the body, all of it? You know, it's not just the good things, but all of the things, yeah, without attaching to that. But yeah, you had a really interesting perspective on that when I tuned in with that.
Cool. So one of the tools, well, there's so many, but a couple of the tools that can be really helpful in this regard is, we have what we call a mantra of in access. All of life comes to me with ease and joy and glory. All of life comes to me with ease and joy and glory. 10 times in the morning, 10 times in the evening, literally will begin to change your life.
Write it down.
Write it down. All of life comes to me with ease and joy and glory. And that, see, what most people do with things like affirmations is they're like, hey, only good things happen to me. You know, I'm healthy, wealthy, and wise. If you've ever met anybody who said that, they're usually poor, they're sick, and not the brightest tool in the shed. You know what I mean? And so an affirmation is an attempt to overcome a deficiency that you've decided is there. But in actuality, your point of view creates your reality. Reality doesn't create your point of view. So the underlying point of view is, I'm these things, I'm going to try to overcome it. So the underlying point of view is what shows up as your life. All of life is the good, the bad, and the ugly. All of it comes with ease. So, like, there was one lady who said this, actually, she and her husband said this all the time, and they were like, I really want to get my car painted, but she didn't have the money to get it painted. And she was using all of life comes to me with ease and joy and glory religiously, morning and evening. And she parked her car, and it got sideswiped. And guess what? The insurance paid to have her car repainted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like all of life, even the things that look negative, quote unquote, if you're willing to allow those with ease, those are always things that will create more for us. They'll give us more awareness. They'll put us on a different path. They'll let us know how powerful we are, how cool we are. So that's one of the things, because what it starts to engender is a space where you don't need walls and barriers to survive, where you don't need walls and barriers to interact, where it's like, hey, everything comes to me with ease and joy and glory. The meaning of glory is exuberant expression and abundance. It has nothing to do with anything religious. But it's like, if you just be with that for a moment,
yeah, all I'm feeling of life, it in my body just right? calm down. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That all of life yeah. comes to me with ease and joy and glory. And it's like, whoa, there's a space. Mm. So that's one of the big beginnings. And then another one is, we have this tool, which is interesting point of view. I have this point of view. We call it Justin Ipov, the famous Russian. Okay. When every point of view you have is an interesting point of view, you don't have to hold on to anything anymore. And so for everybody listening, get some upset that has occurred in the last week or two that's still with you. You haven't been able to let it go. It's still there, kind of like, eh. What I'd like you to do is just get the energy of it, okay? Just tap into it. So just that one thing, we're no longer avoiding now. We're like, get the energy of it, which is like, oh, okay, I'll look at you. Okay, I will stop avoiding you. It's our avoidance that kills us. It's our avoidance that destroys our lives. It's our avoidance that destroys our capacities to change anything and also to have joy. So anyway, get that energy and now just say to it, interesting point of view. I have this point of view. And notice usually it changes a little bit. Now it's whatever energy is there. Again, interesting point of view. I have this point of view. and some more shift. And then to whatever's left, interesting point of view, I have this point of view. And for most people, between 3 and 8 times, they no longer have the point of view. Because it's always our point of view that sticks us. It's also our point of view or our lack of point of view that sets us free. If we have interesting point of view about anything, we don't have anything that's able to stick us because, okay, I hate you. Oh, cool, interesting point of view. I love you. Awesome, interesting point of view. You know, and either one of those is equally sticky depending on the situation, or could be, you know, or equally wonderful. Like when somebody who is an unkind person is like, I hate you, you're like, cool, I must be doing something right. Interesting point of view, thank you. You know, and you can see where we wouldn't necessarily think we have the choice to choose that given our upbringing, where if somebody says, I hate you, and you're like, oh, cool, thank you. You know, what do? They just get more intense. But in actuality, if you're willing to be interesting point of view about it, they have nothing to latch on to continue the attack. There is no reason for attack. It's like you can't punch a marshmallow, you know? And we could be like happy marshmallows.
Yeah.
You know? Like
it could be happy.
Punch a happy marshmallows.
Yeah.
It really can be. Wow.
With money also, I need to address this because this is one of the big things where people who are on a journey of more consciousness somehow think that money is bad. I'm going to say this again. Consciousness includes everything and judges nothing. And I'll tell you the thing that made me finally change my mind about having money. Gary, the founder of Access, my business partner, my best friend for 23 years, when I first met him, I said, Gary, I've got a money issue, help. He said, Dane, there's no such thing as a money issue. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I have a money issue, help. He said, there's no such thing as a money issue. I went, what do you mean? He said, there's only an issue in what you're willing to receive. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, money is only a function of what you're willing to receive. I went, okay. And he asked me a question. He said, and this is what actually changed my world. He said, can you change the world more with money or without money? And I went, oh, shit, with. From that moment, I was willing to actually have money. Before that point in my life, I struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled. And part of that was family upbringing, you know. People who thought people that had money were all evil. And they're the ones keeping the rest of us down. Which, by the way, is a very disempowering point of view to want to inflict on oneself and one's children. You know, they're doing it to us. Oh, yeah. What does that say about you? Oh, that you don't have the power to change it. Fuck that. I got the power to change anything that I'm willing to be courageous enough to change. So I wanted to say that about the money and ask that, you know, present that because just look at it. If everybody listening to this podcast who actually desires a greater world, if everybody was, let's say, multi-millionaires, what could we do together? I mean, what couldn't we do is a smaller list. But let's say, and one of the things we've been talking about recently in Access, because when we get a new thing and it matches an energy really well, we use it, man, because when it matches the energy really well, it starts changing things that people haven't been able to change. So we've been talking about people, and we've been asking people, would you please be willing to be a dirty, rotten multimillionaire? Now, why dirty, rotten multimillionaire? Because everybody's point of view is, if you have a lot of money, you're a dirty, rotten person, right? Well, if you're willing to be a dirty, rotten multimillionaire, then you're willing to be what you have had in your world as the judgment, meaning you're willing to actually allow the money. But if you look at it, what would you do to contribute to the world with that money? And also, not that it's just about contributing to the world, because a lot of people are like, well, I am so holy, I am so pious, I have nothing for myself, I give it all to others. I'm like, cool, if that floats your boat and makes you happy, that's awesome. But I'd like some really nice clothes and some jet skis. And since I live in the U.S., a lot of guns. And and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and people are like, well, you just don't get spiritual reality. I'm like, that's why I don't do spirituality. That's why I'm interested in consciousness. Because if we're not thriving, why the fuck are we doing any of this? You know, whatever thriving is for us. And certain people, you know, I grew up in a family that had pride in poverty. We're superior to people who have money. I'm like, that sucks, you know? And then, you know, as I started having money, people in my family didn't know how to relate to me. And I noticed how uncomfortable it made them. And what I did is I'm like, guys, I'm really sorry for being such an asshole that I don't fit in the family anymore. I'm sorry for making so much money that I make you uncomfortable. And I want you to know that it doesn't have to be that way. And I love you so much and I care for you so much. And we could have something different if you want to. And that was a conversation I had with my mom. And my mom went, wow, thank you for saying that. And I'm sorry that, you know, I'm sorry I make you feel that way. I'm like, I'm sorry I make you feel that way. And then we talked and we cleared something that I have had going on in my life based on events of my childhood, including very intense abuse, that had been locking us up for 50 years. Mm. Between us, it looked like discomfort based on money and other things, but it wasn't that at all. It was judgments from decades ago. Mm. And so the willingness to not make it about the money, but also the willingness to not make it about any particular thing, and the willingness to be vulnerable in a conversation and acknowledge what is for the people that are willing to go there, and the willingness not to need to do that with the people that aren't willing to go there, we have the capacity to open some really beautiful doors by being there for and with each other as that contribution. And that's where I was starting with the money and the hopes that, that some people listening might go, wow, maybe it's not as bad as I thought. Money is just stuff, you know?
It's just stuff. It's energy. It's just energy. Well, thank you for sharing that. Like, I'm getting a lot from this as well. And I'm sure everyone that's listening is just having these moments of epiphany. And it's a massive topic in terms of that spirituality and being identified and attached to it from a place of identity, you know, and consciousness wants to lose all sense of identity and it wants to simply be free. So coming back to what you talked into there, being able to be unfuckwithable in this reality is freedom, right? And it's what consciousness wants to be. It wants to be free, it wants to express, it wants to explore. And it was a beautiful scenario which I witnessed on our way here. We parked up and pulled up at a cafe, and we were kind of around this area where there were a whole lot of car parks, you know, and we pulled over to the side and Roo jumped out to get his coffee. And I watched a car stop because they could see some people that were getting into their car. So that person in that car is like, yes, I've got a car park. They're about to pull out. I'm on here. I've got a car park, you know.
And indicator.
Yeah, indicator's on.
Totally.
And then what happened was the cars behind that car started to back up, you know. So there was an energetical pressure for this person that was getting in their car, packing up, ready to leave the area. There was an energy there being pushed onto them. It's like, hurry up and get in the car and make this person happy. But what I loved and what I observed was they didn't alter at all what they were doing. They were in their process. They were taking their time. They were standing off their feet. They were getting dry properly. They didn't let anything externally alter their state. And I was like, that right there is the energy that you're just speaking into, not allowing anything externally to move you in a way that's going to cause you to be anything other than yourself. So I was like, that right there, that is the unfuckwithable energy that we all need to be in. Don't let anything externally, whether it's pushing on you, whether it's hate, whether it's love, whatever that is, just simply be in it and have that observation of, oh, I've got this. I've got the ability to see it for what it is, rather than allowing it to dictate how we be and how we are. So that was a beautiful little reminder there as I just witnessed that going, that right there, that is how we should be aspiring to be free.
Well, now, here's an interesting thing. That, and then, see, what I look at is I'm really aware, like we all are, right? So I'd be aware, for me personally, what I would do is I'd be aware of the person. I'd be aware of everybody, you know, backing up. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And from not losing me, I'd be like, maybe I could do this a little quicker, do some of this when I get home. In other words, this, it's absolutely yes to what you're saying. And also these other ways in which we don't have to lose us making a choice that will contribute
to
others.
It's not like an or, it's an and. Mm. There's so many different possibilities and doing it in relaxation.
Yeah, that. and realizing that, hey, because a lot of people have the idea of choosing for them is choosing against somebody else. And I'm not saying they're doing that, but just that awareness that that's not actually what choosing for us requires. Choosing for us as beings, if we look at this idea of infinite beings, is infinitely inclusive. And not losing us, but then what creates the most for the world without losing us? See, and this is the reason I say so many things are misidentified and misapplied, because people go, oh, well, I'm doing this for the world. It's like, okay, whoa, easy there, Turbo. What, like, okay, number one, usually anybody who tells you that is trying to prove, because people always try to prove the opposite of what they believe they are, okay? And they try to prove, I'm doing this all for the world. And it's like, okay, that's...
big topic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Thanks. Mm. But when somebody... so it's not about I do this for the world or I do it for me. It's like, I am part of the world. The world is part of me. What is going to create the most for me and everyone? And there's no friggin' exclusion, which is why I say... on the topic of money that we were speaking of, if you're willing to have the money too and not lose you, then what else, what other change can you create in the world? What else can you invite? Mm-hmm. And what if we realize this planet is our home? This planet is not a prison planet like a lot of people have been led to believe and think. This planet is actually our home, and it is contributing all the time. And every animal, every plant, in fact, everything that doesn't have two legs is contributing all the time. And the things with two legs are just a little in their mind a lot rather than necessarily trying to contribute. You know, they're trying to be contributed to most of the time.
I'd love to just, like, before we wrap up, which we'll do in a minute, just your perspective on where the world, like, human civilization is going and what you feel is the most optimal way of living as a human. Like, do you see the primordial times as more advanced civilization as it is now? Do you see more of like a interconnectedness with technology and maybe smaller like community style things? Do you agree with like big cities, this kind of thing? So I'd love to just hear your perspective on that.
Well, my perspective is the one thing that is going to change what doesn't work for all of us is consciousness. Mm. The only time we create a difficulty in our lives or in the world is when we function from unconsciousness, which is unawareness, or anti-consciousness, which is where we go against our awareness. So, like, anywhere around the world, you see them building buildings, but do they ever go, hey, Earth, should we build here? You know, and then they get washed away in a flood 15 years later. It's like, oh, gee, how did that happen? You know, but we don't do something really simple like, consider communion with this amazingly contributory earth that we live on, you know? So for me, cities, old, new, like, there are gifts and benefits in everything. Mm-hmm. And there are absolute stupidities and insanities that go along with most things. And what I'd like to do is expand the benefits and the possibilities of things and eliminate the fucking insanity and the stupidity. But that all comes from anti-consciousness and unconsciousness. Meaning, that's why I do this thing called access consciousness. Because if we access our consciousness, not what we think it is, not the thing that's like, oh, I'm still conscious, I'm woke. Don't even get me started. Woke and choke are rhyming for a reason. Anyway, I digress. Because once again, somebody's like, I'm so woke, which is... I'm better than you. I know the right judgments. It's like, oh, dude, no, there's a whole other possibility here. And by the way, if I offended any of you at home, I'm sorry. Not. Anyway, they're like, he's an asshole. I'm like, thank you very much. Interesting point of view. But whatever we do to get out of judgment, get out of fixed point of view, but also get out of the way things that we've... these presumptive realities of what we presumed reality has to be. It doesn't. We together can change it, but really where that really starts is us with us. You know, I wrote a book called Being You Change in the World, as you mentioned, but people are like, oh, changing the world, how do I do that? It starts with your world. That is the only way it happens. But the change in us is being kinder to us less, judging others less, including more, receiving more, enjoying more, playing more, relaxing more. and getting over the idea that we must be wrong because we're breathing. And when you talk about human civilization, I will just, before we close, which probably a good time, one of the things is we found there appear to be two different types of people on the planet. Those who are growth averse, in other words, people who do the same thing, can do the same job for 40 years, get a plastic watch, retire, and die. And then those that are always looking for something different, they always feel wrong. They always wonder why they don't get it like everybody else does. And they're looking for, what can I be? What can I do that's different? And how can I change the world? Those are the people that are looking for something different. And we call those humanoids. Okay, so we have humans and humanoids. And the only reason for bringing this up is because if you recognize, if you're listening to this podcast and you've nodded a bit and you're not like, oh my God, that guy's a quack and a weirdo, you're more this humanoid thing that we talk about. That's not designed to create separation. It's designed to create an awareness that you function from a more growth-aware and awareness mindset and a desire for change and possibilities. This reality as it is does not work for you. It never has. You think you're wrong because you don't fit here. You're like a square peg in a round hole. And that is not wrongness. That is the difference that if we embrace that as the gift that it is, will allow us to see ourselves through the eyes of people who have the capacity to be different enough to bring possibilities. So it's not about, I'm humanoid and I'm better, I judge humans. No. I'm human, I'm better, I judge humanoid. No. It's about ending the judgment, but recognizing that there are many people who have absolutely no fucking desire for your conversation about possibilities. They have no desire to go on this journey at all.
Do you think they just actually want, don't?
No, they don't.
Really? You don't reckon everyone has a part of them that wants to grow and expand?
Nope.
Really?
Well, I've given you my interesting point of view. I say do your own research.
Yeah.
Part of the reason I'm bringing this up is because exactly that. I so know what you mean because I am so that way that I assumed everybody else was too. And it's a popular spiritual idea. Everybody wants to grow. How many people do you know that absolutely do not and will not? Do you know a few?
Yeah.
Okay, so do I. Do they have a similar energy? They have a similar sort of I don't know how to put it. Like if you present a possibility to them, what do? They're like,
shut down. But I feel that that's from projections and things. I feel like deep down in them, there is that possibility that knows that there's potentially some other thing out there, but it's so.
I used to have the same point of view.
Yeah.
And so what I would do is I would bust my ass to try to change people who didn't desire it. And when I finally went, oh, this person doesn't desire it. And it wasn't about a label. And the way we got to that was a very interesting story that we don't have time for. But it wasn't about a label at all. It was just an acknowledgement of, oh, is this person of a growth and a change mindset and possibilities? Or is this person growth averse and change averse? And when we realize that it literally functions like two different species, which is so bizarre to me, even saying that, I'm like, you know, it's just, but the reason I'm bringing it up is because, so the people that actually desire change and possibilities will stop putting energy trying to change people that don't. Why? Because that's an unkindness. That's a judgment of them. If we go, oh, of course you want possibilities, and they don't, we're judging them. Yeah, it's a positive judgment, as so many judgments are, but we're going, hey, this is the way you should be. What if instead we went, wow, they don't care for possibilities at all. Awesome, good for you. I don't even know how you could be that way. It's so interesting to me. I don't understand it at all, but I'm so glad now I know what I'm dealing with. I see the spade in front of me. I'm not trying to call it, I'm not trying to call it the Queen of Hearts, you know? And in that is so much freedom, but boy, is it confronting. You can see people around the world right now listening going, fuck you. And I totally understand it because I had a similar point of view because I assumed everybody desires change. Well, here's how you know people desire change: when they come to you willing to have change. Then and only then do you know that people actually desire it.
Wow. Yep.
Wow. Now, what I would do in this moment, after all the conversations we've had, I would say, everything that brought up, will you destroy and uncreate it, please? Yes? Okay. Pock and Pod, or my way of doing it, Right and Wrong, Good and Bad, Pod and Pock, All Nine, Shorts, Boys, Povets, and Beyonds, which is the whole clearing statement. I figured I had to get it in once. Now, normally, if we're having a conversation, or if I'm working with people or doing a class, I would be doing that all the way through. Like, we'll have a conversation, right? It opens up a space. You're like, yes. And then what I would say is, everything that doesn't allow that, or we mention a few things that don't allow that to exist, I'd say, hey, can we destroy and uncreate it? Destroy this thing, and then uncreate, meaning take your creative energy out of the limitation so you have that creative energy for creation. And if you're willing to, and only if you're willing to, you go, yeah, okay. And then I go, Right and Wrong, Good and Bad, Pod and Pock, All Nine, Shorts, Boys, Poveds, and Beyonds, or Pock and Pod. And what happens is it changes. You can feel it change in the moment. And I know that we have this clearing statement as access, but please, people, use it. You can change more than you ever imagined, easier than you ever thought was possible. So there, that's my my request, that was invitation.
That was a beautiful invitation. I'm sure many will take the opportunity to give that a go and implement that and jump online and research more into what you offer. It's been a journey, and it's been a beautiful conversation, and I've taken a lot from it. Thank you for sharing your wisdom, and you are someone that we both really look up to and are excited to explore that relationship further. And there's not many people that we can say we truly resonate with and feel at a core level and want to stand beside, you know, as a brother. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both so much. An awesome, awesome conversation. And you made me cry when you said that. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. We'll leave it there. And that's us for the potty. So many nuggets in there. It's probably one of those ones that it'll be a re-listen for those listening. I know I remember listening to some podcasts going, I need to re-listen to that, and I would, and I'd take notes. So just thank you so much for your time. Really, really, really appreciate it. And
thanks, guys.
I look forward to wherever this continues to.
As do I. Let's have way too much fun.
Stella.
Too much fun. Just lastly, where can they find you if they want to jump in?
Oh, Noosa. No, just kidding. DrDaneHere.com. And there's all kinds of stuff and all kinds of free YouTube videos and all kinds of stuff.
Get on there.
He's everywhere. thank you for listening, tuning in from wherever you have. We will be back very soon. Lots of love.